dead.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Craft Beer is Dead. I'm one of your hosts, Bree the Pint-Sized Traveler, accompanied by...
And I'm Chris the Chris Face.
Chris the Chris Face.
Yeah.
We were fortunate enough to sit down with Flora Brewing, aka Sarah Flora, who was one of the first people I followed on Instagram way back, not that long ago, but a good 3 years ago. So that's definitely kind of full circle to be able to actually see her, quote unquote, face to face and be able to talk to her. I know you listened to her podcast and stuff, and you were able to pull a lot from those. Actually, I feel like that kind of enhance the whole experience, her being able to be like, oh, he does listen.
Well, I checked it out. I mean, like, I got a lot of time to listen to stuff when I'm back there, just like cleaning tanks and moving valves and stuff. But no, it was cool. She's available on so many platforms that by the time I finally realized who she was, like, oh, I didn't know who this person is. Like, she's on YouTube. She has a podcast, awesome, successful Instagram kind of aspect of things too. And just like really, really fun homebrewing channel and how she's dived into it. And like, for me personally, resonated a lot because I was that person.
Yep.
Like, we started this brewery because of how I went through those same things and stuff. So it's kind of cool to watch somebody else through, like, through the looking glass and just kind of see somebody else go through those same trials and tribulations.
And she's so transparent about it all, which I feel like is a breath of fresh air, because she won't just edit out the oopsie doopsie poopsie whoopsies, you know, like she'll throw that in there.
Or the schloopsies.
Or the schloopsies, especially the schloopsies.
You got to pay more for the schloopsies.
And while we are chatting with her, we're going to be jumping into some Weldworks.
Weldworks?
Weldworks-ish.
Yeah.
I've tried a few of their beers before, I believe, courtesy of Tavor. This one, judging by the label, looks new. Was it a Mexican-style lager?
Yeah, man. This one is called Long Bones from our buddies over at Weldworks. They were actually super sweet and sent us a little care package as a welcome to the Porch Drinking Network.
Let me see this sign.
Yeah, they,
you guys can't see it, but I have the
great audio
video going. Welcome to the team. You did it.
Yay.
Skipping Weldworks. That is the most darling thing.
That was very sweet of them.
I have ever seen.
No, but they were super cool to send this out. This is a Mexican style lager brewed with Pilsner malt and flaked maize. You are ever in the Greeley, Colorado area, definitely go pay them a visit. You'll find this on draft. You'll find Juicy Bits, their hazy IPA, Serial Killer. That's awesome. Keller beer.
We need that.
Yeah. Well, we still need to like do the true crime thing again at some point.
Not again. Yeah. Maybe we could just, you know,
we'll just
do
talk
a
about
little
murders
spooky
and drink beer
real quick in the middle of.
No big deal. But yeah, definitely go check them out. It's nice to finally like review a crusher of sorts.
Yeah.
I feel like we get stuck in the hazies and the sours and the stouts and all that. And, you know, it's indicative of the times. It's going to happen.
And they're fun. And especially because we're sharing it. So it's, you know, it's fine. But it's definitely nice to be able to just crush one.
Oh, my God. I almost just spit that all over the equipment. Ooh, boy. It's so good, my lungs wanted to try it. Good job, Weldworks.
Just filled up your lungs.
Ay. All right, well, we're going to start sipping into this. We're going to jump into this lovely, lovely interview that we had after a brief moment from our sponsors. This episode brought to you by A La Carte in Orlando, Florida. A La Carte is one of our favorite places to go when we are in Central Florida. Whether it's their awesome beer selection, their amazing food vendors, or just their all-around outstanding team, you can't go wrong by joining them at any given point of your day. This month, on March 12th and the 13th, they are doing a St. Patrick's Day pre-party. A la Carte is getting ready for St. Patrick's Day with some fun and exciting local beers from Tactical, Ellipsis, Hourglass, and Nectaris Mead. Come on Saturday between 12 and 6, donate blood on the Big Red Bus, and get a free draft pint. Reservations are recommended. And Sunday, Scotty Long will be performing traditional Irish music from 1 to 4 p.m. On March 28th, Magnify Spotlight during Movie Monday. Magnify sent down some awesome brews from New Jersey, and ALC is tapping them during a special Movie Monday presentation. The featured beer of the night is Magnify's collab with North Park from San Diego named I'm Kind of a Big Deal, which is a perfect pairing with the comedy classic on the big screen. Come try one or a flight of all four and have yourself some serious laughs. Again, we can never say too many kind words about this place. They're awesome people doing great things when it comes to beer. Go grab yourself a crispy, a hazy, a sour, a lager, anything you want. I guarantee you will find it at A La Carte. When you go, do them a favor and tell them that Craft Beer Is Dead sent you, and they'll give you 10% off your tab. How fun is that? So when you find yourself in Central Florida, go check out A La Carte.
Well, it's so nice to finally meet you. I feel like I've been following you online. Probably, you're probably one of the first accounts I ever did follow, come to think of it.
That's wild, man. Right? It's like, it's crazy how like long it's been.
Yeah, right. Are we recording?
Yeah, we're cool.
So when did you start your page? I'm not sure.
Ooh, that's a good question. It's like so hard to tell because it was my like just personal Instagram and like my art Instagram before, but I think it was like probably 2015, 2016.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like, I can't believe it's 2022 already.
Seriously.
It's going
like, where does the time go?
Very much so.
And did you really, you started off just posting about homebrewing, or did it start off like posting about other people's beers and stuff?
I started it when I started brewing, basically, when I got the homebrew kit and kind of got into it. And it was like pretty quick that I got into it. Probably like once I started making my own recipes, I think is when I kind of really started posting. And then it just like kind of blew up from there. And it's just like been a whirlwind since.
God, I bet. What do you think? It was just that you were building the recipes. People are just like, oh shit, it's not, like, she's just using a kit, you know? It's the whole thing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was like, it was probably weird for like all my art friends who followed me. But I mean, back then I had like 1,000 followers just from like people I knew and random stuff. And I feel like that's kind of like the Instagram average at this point is... And yeah, I actually like don't know how many of my, like my old art people still follow me, but I would assume it's probably not super interesting to most of them.
But, or you just try to get them to try all your beginning home brews, and they're just like,
yeah. No. I mean, I think when I moved, I finally like threw away some of my one of my first batches.
Really?
It was just sitting in bottles. Oh my God. It was for the longest time, it was like the beer that I would use to like make beer brats, and just like, okay, well, it won't carry over that it's bad, I guess. Hopefully.
That's actually genius.
It's the one that's okay to sacrifice to the beer gods.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Exactly.
To the brat gods.
Yeah. So I guess that too, I mean, like, why beer in the first place? What drew you to it? What like what spurred you to buy the first homebrew kit?
Well, I've been into beer since like, I mean, before I was legally allowed to drink.
Allegedly.
Yeah, like my boyfriend in college worked at a beer bar, so like we were just always trying new stuff that they would get. And it was like one of those bottle shops that just like has endless amounts of beer. And what's funny is he actually became a brewer in Asheville. So I got to go hang out at his brewery. Yeah. We send beers back and forth all the time.
That's super cool.
But my husband and I, like, we were always like, we would go to breweries, like, every road trip, whatever. And I was like, oh, he'd like to make beer, right? Absolutely not. I bought him a homebrew kit. He wouldn't do anything with it. So I was like, I have all this equipment here now, and what the hell am I going to do with it? I, like, cannot stand wasting money. So I'm like, well, I guess it's mine now. And it just happened. And I fell in love with it. Yeah.
That's hysterical. Like, and that's cool that you got to see Asheville go from probably far less breweries back then than it does now.
I actually only went there. I'm from Florida. So, like, we went to school in St. Augustine.
Oh, my God. Really? Oh, that's so cool.
That's
awesome.
We
love St. Augustine.
Yeah, we, like, tried to spend weekends there.
We're in Florida, you know, but.
We're over in Orlando.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm from Tampa originally.
Oh, hell yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. But yeah, we went to Flagler. So, yeah, that's, I mean, there was, like, all of 2 beer bars in St. Augustine at that point. But yeah, I went to Asheville to, like, brew with the guys at Clawhammer Supply. And it was just, like, happy accident that I was, like, in his neighborhood and, like, gotta go check out what homeboy's doing.
That's so badass.
That's awesome. So when you started brewing, what was the first beer?
It was just like a pale ale kit. And then very soon after that, I made the recipes for my cherry saison and my tangerine wheat. The tangerine wheat was like, we always road tripped up to Lost Coast. We went on this brewery tour, and they were telling us how they make their beer Great White, which is like, it's like a wheat ale to some degree, but they put in like lime leaves and coriander and all this stuff. And they're like making us smell coriander. And my husband's like, you have to make a beer with this. So my tangerine wheat is basically like their tangerine wheat mixed with their Great White. And it's just like super good. And it just like going to these brewery tours just kind of like set the ball rolling to like make new recipes. And I was doing tons of fruit beers at the time. I really love incorporating fruit. I think it's just because like we're in California, it's like fruits everywhere,
right?
My neighbor called me the other day and was like, hey, come pick my trees please.
I just want to ask you, how do you, or where do you usually get it from? Farmers markets, or how are you finding them?
My favorite thing to do is to like get backyard fruit. Nice. So citrus is just like exploding right now. So I have a grapefruit IPA that I make, and I've actually made it with store-bought grapefruit and like compared it with the like local, and it is like night and day. The store-bought grapefruit has almost no flavor. It's like doesn't carry over at all.
Wow.
And then you just go pick like 10 grapefruit from a neighbor's tree, and it's like, oh my, this is like I'm drinking grapefruit juice.
That's awesome.
So do you have to share the beer though? It's kind of like a
give and take, right? Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm gonna come pick all your grapefruits, but in a month I will bring you back beer, I promise.
Sold.
I've literally been there, because I remember you know, back in the homebrew days, I would drive around every February, March, and the kumquat trees would bloom. And so I would just kind of find all the ones in the neighborhood and knock on doors and be like, hey, are you using that fruit out in your front yard? And then most of the times they'd be like, no, you weirdo, go grab it.
As I was just picking them today, the loquats in our yard, I was like, I wonder if Chris can make a beer with these. And then I looked down and there's like 15 of them. I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, you got to drive around for a few hours for sure. Actually, I met one really, really nice lady who just like came out with like about 2 buckets full of star fruit. She's like, well, if you're making beer, you can use these too. I don't really use them that often.
That's so cool. Those are expensive.
That's a good
too.
Come up.
Yeah.
Right?
I wish I remember where she lived.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I actually, I have a loquat little baby tree from my sister-in-law's growing in a pot now. And I'm like, ooh, maybe at some point in like 10 years, this will produce fruit.
I'm going to turn you into booze.
Yep. Everything.
Booze.
at my old apartment, there was this like random bush growing on the side of the building, and it produced these fruits, and no one in the building knew what they were. And I finally just like, there's this app called Plant Snap, mm-hmm. and it's like you take the photo of the plant and it tells you what it is. Doesn't really work anymore for
coolest
some reason.
App
but
idea. Back when, yeah.
I know, right? And it's like, it's either that or like Reddit, what plant is this? And those are my like go-tos. It's like, my husband like always was like, plant snap it.
I like him already.
He's great. So I like looked up what this was, and it was a pineapple guava tree, and it's just, and like August, it just drops like pounds of these tiny little guavas.
Oh my
God.
I've
made a couple beers out of those, and it's just like crazy because it's kind of like tastes like a guava but smells kind of pineapple-y. It's just awesome. And where I move now, someone's got them in their yard, and it's like
no
guavas
way.
Are insane here. It's like you can't get rid of guava here. It's out of control.
Really?
Everyone. It's like, yeah, I go into work and my boss like brings paper bags completely filled, like, please take these. I can't do anything with them. And it's like, if you let them sit on the counter too long, it kind of smells like rotten fruit. It's such a specific smell. It like, and it's so pungent. It's just like takes over your whole house. It's like an air freshener. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. That's like my favorite fruit in beer. So you're just like, ugh, hitting that spot. I'm very jealous because that's not here at all. I don't even think, can
right,
we even
yeah.
grow them here?
Yeah, I think you can. They're like huge in like Miami and stuff like that too.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
It's probably just like a cultural thing. It's like whoever planted them 15 years ago.
I never even heard the word guava, I swear to God, up until like 4 years ago.
Well, that's from like the Great White North.
Oh, yeah. I know, yeah. But like, isn't that just so bizarre?
Yeah. I mean, well, I lived in Florida for 22 years, and I don't think I ate a mango until I was 20 years old.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yeah, that
makes me feel better.
I didn't realize I didn't know how to cut a mango until like 3 months ago. When like Kristen was just like, oh, yeah, we'll get a mango, we'll cut it. I was like, yeah, it shouldn't be that hard. And she comes in, it's just like soup all over the counter, just mush.
Pineapples are harder to cut too than some people think.
Spiky.
They are.
Yeah.
So, what's your favorite homebrew competitions to enter? You have racked up an absurd amount of awards already. I mean, it seems like every month there's something else. What are your favorite ones to enter, and kind of, I guess, why?
I really like the female-focused homebrew comps. Mm. I think it's like stiff competition.
Wow.
Like a lot of these women who've been brewing for a long time, like you don't really know about them until you see their names on like every like first place.
Wow.
So Queen of Beer and She Brew are the two that I enter usually, and I haven't entered since like COVID happened. I'm just out of practice, but yeah, those are the two. And it's just always great to see who wins and like see their picture. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be you one day.
That's so cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah. Speaking from like the homebrew perspective too, like I feel, because I've listened to a lot of the shows that you've recorded for the podcast, watched a lot of the videos and stuff. And I feel like I've come from a similar background of, all right, I'm just going to try making it. And then you get bit by the bug. And then of a sudden you're obsessed with it. And then you try to turn it into a business. And it's just this constant, just down a rabbit hole all the time. So like as you go through that, I feel, and not to like put any perspective on your end, but like, are there like constantly new things where you're like, well, I don't really know much about that. I'm going to try it. I'm going to figure it out. And then as you keep going on and on and on, just kind of finally get to a point where, like you just said, you probably are somebody else's, I'm going to be her one
yeah.
day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, after all this time of homebrewing and starting to work on your own brewery of things, you know, what are some things that you're challenged by, things that you're trying to take down as far as, like, new things that you're trying to better yourself with in your brewing world?
I mean, consistency is always, like, the thing. Just in general is, like, my main problem.
Okay.
But it's, like, I can't, like, keep using the same recipe. It's like something about it, I just can't not do it. And it, like, of course the YouTube, like trying to put out content constantly and different content, it just like feeds into that, like I don't want to make the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. But I mean, some things that I like am looking forward to getting into. I bought myself a little microscope, so I like want to do like yeast counting and get soup and like learn more about yeast. Yeast is just fascinating in general. I've been like with the whole like movement towards non-alcoholic beers, been really interested in trying to make one because I have a ton of sober friends and like who have gotten sober like since like I've known them. So it's like they were beer drinkers, but now they can't. And so I'm like, I want to see if I can like make something that tastes good. And I just had my first Athletic brewing beer and it was like really good.
Oh,
I mean, I've had like O'Doul's and stuff and I can't stand that.
Right.
But like the Athletic, I was like, oh man, I could actually like drink this.
And
I
they have stouts and IPAs health. And sours. Like the fact that they're actually making like a spectrum of styles is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like the other day, I was researching like vacuum distillation, yep. like how to build a home vacuum distiller. And it's like, what am I thinking that I have time to do this? Like, this is insane. I have like a to-do on my like little calendar. Look up more stuff about vacuum distillation.
I've literally been down that rabbit hole. I swear to God, because I was looking at it here as far as like ways we could do it at the brewery here.
But, yeah.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, it's like you just end up in these like, oh, this thought popped in my head. I'm going to go on like a 3-hour research trip now.
Yep, that sounds like my life.
Preaching to the choir here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, same, same.
So if you...
I feel like a lot of brewers are like that.
Yeah.
Right? It's just always, you know, the wish list, but then also like, this is pretty feasible. You know, you kind of get yourself convinced, like, I can fit a fooder there. Yeah. I can. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also this like blind confidence too of like, well, somebody else figured it out.
Well, someone else did.
I'm sure I could probably figure it out.
Yeah, right?
So if money and space wasn't a thing at all for you, what's like one piece of equipment that you just wish you could fit in your house?
It's like... I mean, everyone asks me like the wish list, and like the wish list is like actually make a commercial brewery.
Yeah.
But it's like that involves so much. It's
is
like,
that the, yeah. that's truly the end goal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have some property up in Washington. It's like there's so many factors that have to go into this that it's just like, people ask me for my timeline, and I'm like, retirement. Retirement is my timeline.
Yeah.
It's like when I can leave California and like go live in the woods, that's the timeline.
That's awesome. So
we have 4 acres and like most of it's like a cliff, so it's not like fully 4 acres, but there's a space that I can fit like 2 10-by-20-foot sheds on and build a nano brewery. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. And I want to do a distribution only to start and like I don't want to see anyone. I just want to brew. And one of my neighbors is like trying to retire early. And he's like, when are we getting this brewery started? When are we getting this brewery started? I'm going to need a retirement job.
You're like, tomorrow, Tom, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's so badass. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's like literally my dream now too.
Right? He's like not to now talk to anyone. He's like,
don't get me wrong, this
made
brewery,
one, yeah. but I just kind of now want to make one and not talk to anybody.
This brewery is great, but if we could move the production facility to like somewhere like in the nowhere. Woods, oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Hike right? and climb and
just, yeah. Oh my God, you'd never see me again.
I know.
Dream.
I know. For the both of us. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know. Now that my brewery's in the garage, like, my husband will be home and he'll like call me like, did you leave? Like, I've been in the garage for 8 hours.
Wow. That's awesome. Seriously. I mean, but that just shows why you are where you're at. I mean, that's just remarkable.
It's like, I'm just the kind of person who like has to be moving all the time. And like, I also have the problem where I try to like, I don't try to do this. It just happens. I make every friggin' hobby a job. So it's like,
and then why once do you it? Make,
I exactly. And then once you make the hobby a job, you have to find a new hobby. And then it's just... you just, the amount of time that you have in a day is like whittled down to seconds.
Yeah, I get that. I feel like I'm talking to myself right now.
No, honestly, this whole time I'm like kind of just bewildered that I feel like I am talking to you right now.
It's kind of creepy.
It's very funny. Very funny.
Yeah.
So speaking of sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, speaking of the full-time aspect of things, like, you do the podcast, you do the YouTube, like, what you mentioned earlier, like, coming up with content and stuff, is it something that's, like, more and more challenging as you go further on? Because I've never, like, created any videos of any sort, especially on any sort of one subject. So as time goes on, I feel like, personally, I would run out of stuff to talk about.
I'm like, how are you scheduling this is just kind of sticking out to me, too. I'm like, I have a tough time with one platform of my own. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, the podcast is actually on a hiatus now because it was, like, becoming overwhelming. But I do have help with that. And we're going to revive it. We're thinking of like different ways to do it, so it's like less of a time suck on me. And yeah, the content, it does like kind of become harder and harder to come up with something new and interesting, especially recipe wise because I'm like need to do videos that aren't just recipe like based, and like do equipment stuff. But yeah, I mean, yeah. And it's my problem also is I like making certain kinds of beers. It's like, I'm not interested in a lot of things. So, it's like, I like making lagers and pale ales. And it's like, I like to make what I like to drink and, I'll make a stout here and there, but I don't really drink stouts. It's like,
am I gonna be able to trade the neighbors for this one? No, I know. Can't make it.
Yeah, I made I'll like make recipes for specific people basically. So like my favorite band, they did the intro and outro for the podcast, and I was like, I'm gonna make a beer in your honor to do that. And I actually made two. I made a Japanese lager and an Irish stout. But I'm like, I'm not going to drink this Irish stout. Fortunately, one of my best friends is breastfeeding. So I'm like, hey, here you go. This will be great for you.
There you go. It's like the old Guinness ads. It gives you iron. Something.
Yep.
That's hysterical.
Hey, it's supposed to be good for lactation.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it.
And so is she.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And of course, she's like the person who I had a little beer club with, too. So I'm like, it's been hard for you not to drink for 9 months. I know, but I'm saving some stuff for you.
What's one style that you just absolutely refuse to make, or like a style that you just wish you could set on fire right now?
Ooh. Man, I'm trying to think. You know, like the super long aged sours, I'm not super into. Like, I've moved away from sour. I'm like, my tastes have changed since I started brewing too. I think just by overindulgence, probably. Yeah. like, I was super into sours and like saisons when I first started. And now I'm like, I don't want a sour beer. It's like, at all. I thought about doing a lime ghost for, I'm actually going to post when we're done with this. I made a lime lager instead because I was like, do I want lime ghost sitting around my house? Probably not.
No.
So I'm like, all right, like Bud Light lime kind of thing sounds pretty good. It's warming up here.
Hell yeah.
That sounds dope. Oh, yeah. I get that because, like, literally, so not to speak ill of our brewery, but there's like 80% of the portfolio where I'm like, I'm really proud of that. That's really good. I like it. People love it. And I don't ever want to drink more than 3 ounces of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I feel that way like about 15, so many of my
like
beers.
10 of them. How you feel right now?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It's when I'm in Washington, like, us and our neighbors, we just drink beer constantly. It's like never ending. It's always like Silver City Brewing, which is like down the road. We go and buy cases. They have case sales occasionally. And I got a keg from them this time because I just got a kegerator up there.
Hell yeah.
And it's just like, IPA, 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 IPA. It's like most of what they do. And it's like I come back to LA and I'm like, I need a glass of wine. Like, I cannot have a beer right now. We bought Budweiser the other day when we were when we were doing yard work. It's like, yep. Oh,
we got Coors Banquet as our yard yep. beer guilty pleasure. So understood.
Yep. It's like there's something about it. Right. It's just like
where you almost like salivate for it. You're like, oh, my God.
Everyone's got the one. Yeah.
Why am I like this?
Because we're all slight garbage people on the inside.
That's oh, yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Like if he would have brought home Bud Light Lime, I would have probably even been more into it. But it's like that can get dangerous.
I still get like a little giddy when it's like a $2 PBR tall boy at a concert now. I'm like,
yeah, Doug's like that. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. how are you?
Yeah, that checks.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah, love it.
So on a travel note, where's one place? Do you have anything on your bucket list right now? Whether, I mean, for beer, not for beer. Is there anywhere that's kind of on your radar?
I'm actually going to Chicago in Ooh. April to brew a beer with Pilot Project.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it's going to be like my first like collab kind of thing. Yeah,
that's cool. That's so cool.
It should be fun. It's going to be a whirlwind. I'm like, I still have a day job. So it's like the trip has lined up. So I work in an art gallery, and there's this big art fair in Chicago, like, right at the same time I'm brewing the beer. So I'm, like, brewing the beer, day off, working an art fair for 3 days. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is, like, a five-day trip.
Oh, my God.
What am I doing to myself?
Awesome, but exhausting. And that's a great yeah. time of the year to go. You're not going to, you know, freeze your nuts off like he did oh last God. Time. So yeah. that is, like... perfect time to
I
go.
Looked
You're
up the weather
so fun
because I was like trying to buy something like nice to wear for the art fair, and I was like, oh, is it gonna be like too warm for long sleeves? Uh-huh. It's 40 to 60
oh, yeah.
degrees. I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm gonna die. And it's like I'm going with all California people too, and I'm like, just remember, guys, Chicago is cold
and windy as
it's
hell.
A different cold, man.
It
like,
is. It
and
is.
It'll lie to you. It'll tell you yeah. it's a different temperature. And then when you get there, it's like 20 degrees colder and it's awful.
There was like negative something. You know, you'll be fine. Yeah. Layers are your friend. But
no, but there's a lot. Like the beer scene up there is insane.
So fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check out, if you can, Forbidden Root is really cool. Oh, damn it. What's that one? They make amazing Vienna lager. Dovetail is insane. If you ever get a chance to go check them out.
Nice. I do like a Vienna lager.
Right?
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There's also the Brewseum is up there. It's like the only beer history museum.
I did not know that. Did you know that?
So I may have heard about it on a certain podcast. Didn't you interview somebody about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was literally just listening to that like while I was cleaning pegs before we fired this up.
I know. That's how I knew about it. So I'm going to try to go there on my one day off and check it out. I'm like such a history nerd in general, but like beer history yeah. I think is so fascinating. It's like
you better yeah, carve off like 8 hours to go. You're going to read every single piece of literature on the wall.
My dad's the one who got me into art, and it's literally because whenever he would take me to museums, we had to see every single piece there and read every placard. So that's like what I grew up with. I just assume a museum trip is 8 hours at this point. It's like endless. And like when you're like 10 years old, you're just like, I want to die. Like, why am I here?
Oh, I'm sure. I already feel that way in some museums now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just like beeline straight for what I want. It's like, I don't need to see the other stuff. It's like, I did art history in school. I don't need that.
Where did you go to school?
Flagler.
You said that. Duh. Oh, man. That is one of the most beautiful campuses. I've only kind of like meandered around it. But oh, my God. That whole place is like a museum in itself.
Yeah, it really is. And what was cool is when I was there, the first year you have to live in the dorms, the girls' dorms is in the old hotel.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Wow. It's like you get a very, very teeny tiny room, but the ceilings are like 15 feet high.
Wow. Oh, my God.
It's awesome.
I remember that's hearing really something neat. Where like they didn't have AC in a lot of those just because they had no way to put HVAC in or something like that.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember if we had AC.
No, there. I feel like a lot of freshman dorms don't have AC. Like that was even a thing up north, but only the freshman dorms.
Yeah, some like terrible form of hazing.
Seriously. Like, let's see how many.
I know there was a few summers in St. Augustine that we had no AC. That's for sure.
Ew.
It's very sweaty. Very sweaty.
Oh, that's so funny. I guess so. Possibly ending with, what advice do you have for other women who are kind of trying to not only get into homebrewing, but maybe even make it more public that they are?
I mean, I just like,
just do it.
just do it, really. Yeah. I think the way I've kind of approached it is like, I'm very flawed and I make a lot of mistakes, and here they are. So you can see them. But yeah, it's like the video I'm putting out like after this, it's like I literally left the valve open as I was transferring my beer into my fermenter. So there's that. It's like I'm trying to kind of make it more accessible because when I first started, I was so overwhelmed just by like trying to be perfect, and like everyone seemed like they knew exactly what they should be doing, and there's just like endless threads of like people being like, no, you're doing this wrong, da 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 da. And it's like, if it works, why is it wrong, you know? And it's like, there's a lot of different ways you can do the same thing, and honestly, you can make beer with like next to nothing and it can turn out, it's just like, there's like temperature control. That's like the one thing I've learned that is like key to making good beer. It's like temperature control and like sanitation. I think sanitation is even less important than temperature control, honestly. I mean, I had a friend who was making cider, and she didn't realize that she needed to sanitize her bottle caps. Her cider is amazing. It's like, it didn't matter. Whatever.
Yeah, it's funny too, because like there's just so much archaic information, especially when you start getting into something like that. Because I very much had the same issue of just being completely overwhelmed and almost like mentally constipated by the amount of information that everyone just throws at you. And very much too, that same kind of thing where it depends on the personality behind the person giving you the info of, you know, some people don't like to admit that there's more than one way to do things. They get tied into, this is the only way that works. And it's the longer you start, or the longer you brew, and the further down that rabbit hole you get, the more you realize, like, dude, there's like 1,000 ways to do the same thing. And just figure out what works best for you, and it's fine.
And maybe don't give unsolicited advice.
Well, actually, what I would tell you about that, no, I'm just kidding.
You know, right? I can't imagine how many bridge trolls have told you how to do something in your comments and shit. I swear, I feel like you can make your own separate page platform on just...
Probably.
You know?
People are usually relatively nice. It's funny, the YouTube comments, I don't even read them anymore, honestly. It's the YouTube comments are always like, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. I'm like, I don't care.
Right?
Yeah.
And wrong. Cool. I mean, your definition of wrong, so really.
Yeah, thanks, nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, nerd.
Yeah, it's like, my beer is drinkable, so... Right. It was fine.
And probably shits on whatever they were making, so.
No, and honestly, like, to your point, and not to overcompliment you or anything, like, I remember watching a lot of videos when I started out, and it was always, like, that same kind of feeling of, like, oh, this person knows exactly what to do. And it was always well-packaged, and it was what it was, and it was just, like, do this, 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 and then that's your end product. And I was watching the, I think you were brewing, like, an Amber Ale video, and they did the Gravity post-mash, and you're like, oh, shit, that's way higher than I thought. Guess it's going to be an Imperial. And I was like, dude, I can't tell you how many times I've had those moments homebrewing where it's like, well, that didn't work. Where like, if you're watching everyone else do it who don't admit those mistakes from time to time, you're like, oh shit, I did something wrong. Now I have to worry about, is my setup too efficient? Am I not using the right water?
Yeah.
What's wrong with my mash paradigms? And instead just being like, well, that just went that way, rolled it, man. Like,
yeah, it's like that happens to me like probably 50% of the videos at this point. I just like I mill so fine that it's like my mash efficiency is like 80-85% usually, and I never want to set my calculator that high because the one time I did is the one time I got like 70% efficiency.
Oh, of course.
So I'm like, of course. So it's like, who cares? I like a higher alcohol beer anyway. So it's like I kind of make my recipes a little lower than I would anticipate or want and just kind of roll with it.
No, it's funny because I feel as though a lot of brewers do that where, you know, you'll put it in the software or through your formulas and stuff, and your system specifically does a couple things that don't line up with that, but you learn them over time. So like now, if you were to go off of our software and put in a recipe and then try to brew it on our system, it would not turn out the way you think it should. But that's because I know that we have to dial back the water by about 0.12%, and we have to do this, this, and this. All these little things that you just factor in where you're like, I could put it in the system, but I just know to do it, and it's fine.
Yeah, it's like gardening, man. It's like there's just so many factors. You just kind of got to deal with it and like hope it works out. And you do learn your system. It's like the reason that my efficiencies have actually been off lately is because I switched my profile in Brewfather to actually be the Clawhammer profile, which is the system I use, but they only have the 120 volt system and mine's a 240 volt system,
right?
And I'm still dialing it in, and I had a perfect one before and I was like spot on a lot, and as soon as I changed I was like, well, now I don't know what I'm doing, so that's cool.
Well, it's also fun to relearn it.
yeah back to basics.
Another thing to add to the list to research.
Oh my god, always. It's like endless. I've been gardening pretty much for 2 weeks straight now. And I'm like, I need, like, the brewery is completely packed full of just random stuff right now. And I'm like, I'm going to have to completely change everything to even be able to brew at this point. And I'm like, cool, I've brewed once this year.
Really? Yeah. Man, shit happens.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
Right?
Make some more content at some point.
Yeah, right?
Enjoy the time, you know? Just,
I know.
No one cares. They miss you, but it's like, they'll survive.
That was so dark.
Like, they'll survive. I don't know.
I always have to, like, remind myself, like, no one's relying on your content. Like,
yeah.
If it shows up, people are, like, cool with it. But it's like, no one's waiting for it.
That's it.
Have to tell myself that. I took off like Christmas, and I have such a hard time like taking any time off because I feel like immensely guilty. Mm. And it's like, it's literally Christmas. Yeah. And I was working my day job over Christmas too. So it's like, I'm already working one job over Christmas.
Yeah, I think you're doing all right.
Right.
Whatever. I need to relax. I don't have a relax button.
I'm working on that. I get that. Maybe I should try gardening.
Oh, seriously.
Yeah. Well,
you kind of do. Well, you do sprout.
Like a distraction.
He's a sprouter.
I make sprouts.
He makes sprouts.
Make some sprouts.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that is all I have.
That's all I got too. Else? Yeah. You got any questions or anything for us at all?
I don't think so. I'm like not a good interviewer. I'm a better interviewer.
This works so well then.
No, it's like, I mean, you know, you and I never got to actually meet or talk or anything. You know, a lot of people have gotten to meet at, you know, some of the bigger beer fests and stuff like that, you know, so I feel like it's easy just to start up conversation. But I mean, you're just so easy to talk to. You're so easy to interview, I feel like, right? It's like the energy matches what you know.
Yeah, and it's like I'm doing the International Women Beer Conference in April.
Nice.
As well, and it's like they want us to talk about, I'm doing it with Megan Stone, Is Beer a Carb, on Instagram. And we're like both kind of panicking because they want us to talk about like social media strategy. And I'm like, I'm so much more comfortable just talking about beer.
Yeah.
That it's like, I don't know. I just like kind of do it. And I don't know how to tell someone how to do it. It's like, at least she's like an actual consultant and stuff for marketing. And I'm like, I just post things on YouTube once a week and it happens.
Well, that's your realm, you know. She does a little YouTube, but that's definitely a platform that not a lot of people have the patience to utilize. I mean, the editing, the compressing the video, like, I mean, it is a lot of shit.
Yeah, it's a lot of time.
Yeah,
it's,
the editing
that's
alone.
That's why I was doing two videos a week
at one point.
That was when we were in an apartment. So I had less like house stuff to do. But now that we're in a house, I'm like, there's endless projects. Like, I'm like, oh, I got to clean all my crap out of my new roommate's like closet still and paint it. Because it's like got tar from the previous person who smoked inside.
Oh my God.
In there
Like, oh, it's like, I mean, we've had to paint the whole house. It's nuts. But,
oh.
Yeah.
Well, from the background, it looks like a very beautiful color.
Even if that's the only wall you painted, it looks great.
She's like, actually, the only wall we have
is this color now.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, thank you again so much. Where can everyone find you?
On Instagram, I am Flora_Brewing. On YouTube, just Flora Brewing. And there's a website that doesn't get updated much, florabrewing.com.
Hell yeah. And if you are a home brewer out there, definitely check her out, because
seriously,
I feel like whenever I started, there weren't a lot of well thought out, well constructed videos. And I just wish you would have existed then.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just added a new camera angle to the kettle cam.
Yo, I saw that on that Amber Ale, man. I was like, that's so fun. I love that.
The kettle cam. Oh, I love
that. You know what I just realized is that I made a graphic for that video angle and I forgot to put it in my last video. So there you go.
Exactly.
There's no rhyme or reason to what I'm doing.
Here we are.
Consistency out the window.
Oh, that's so funny.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, like she said, we can't thank you enough for joining us. This was a pleasure. So
yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fellow Floridians.
Yes, that is hard to say five times fast.
It is.
Dead. Dead. Dead.